Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful immediately, and some you will put in your sewing kit to use when you need to don something that has come apart. This week's tool is design, and why it is important to have the courage to be the designer of your life and not the victim, and how to utilize this gift once I've demonstrated to you that this is a great tool for your brand. Oftentimes, we realize that we have been sleepwalking through our lives. Some questions to consider. What gets me out of bed in the morning? What do I spend most of my energy on in life? What do I love most in life? What unique gifts do I have to offer the world? What is my deep purpose in life? According to the book, Wake Up Call, How to Take Control of Your Morning and Transform Your Life by Thibaut Marus, a quick way to regain that control over our lives is to take over our morning. So many folks reach for their devices first thing in the morning. I reach for my 6-year-old little girl, who every morning gets into bed with me for snuggles as we watch the sun fully brighten the sky. I can't imagine a better way to wake up every day. Your morning is your time to set the tone for the day and to set up your mind, your thinking patterns, and here are some tips from that book. Create a morning ritual that you're sincerely excited about and can maintain for life. Create a morning ritual that fully supports your goals and dreams. Wake up early because you genuinely want to, not because it's what successful people do. Using your morning ritual to change your mindset, get rid of mental blocks, and get the results you want in life. And using your morning ritual to cultivate positive emotions and experience increased levels of joy and fulfillment. Take it from designers, graphic designers, coders, interior designers, multimedia artists, art directors, advertisers and promotion managers, and fashion designers, that there is a process that they use that you too can use in designing your actual life to craft it in the way that you want rather than waiting to see what life will bring to you, which usually is nothing much. Your life is the most important project, and life, just like a design problem, is full of constraints: time, money, age, location, and circumstances. You can't have everything, so you have to be creative to make what you want and what you need coexist. Design the Life You Love by Ace Burcell is an inspirational guide to building the life you've always wanted using the principles and creative process of the award-winning product designer author. Designers create worlds and solve problems using design thinking. Look around your office or home, at the tablet or device you may be holding, or the chair you're sitting in. Everything in our lives was designed by someone. And every design starts with a problem that a designer or team of designers seeks to solve through 4 steps: deconstruction, point of view, reconstruction, and expression. You too can make your life's design a reality. And you can find the links to these books as well as all of our peer-reviewed articles we discuss on U Inc. on WCBE.org, as well as full podcasts of all our episodes on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, and follow us on socials as well at U Inc. Radio. Recall that first moment of inspiration when you graduated from college, landed the dream job, or first laid eyes upon your spouse. Your ambition was unlimited and your confidence unshakable. The energy was palpable. You could not fail. This begins your electrifying journey towards designing your life and creating a new picture of your future with fresh ambitions and an unshakable confidence that you can achieve the life you envision. Design is not for philosophy, it is for life. And this is a quote by clothing designer Issey Miyake. U Inc. was brought to you today by Junior Explorer Club, with the goods for parents with kids. Junior Explorer Club now offers out-of-the-box, all-inclusive parties. Junior Explorer Club will make all the arrangements, including picking up the kids from your place and giving them a day-long party experience. We'll even bring them back to home base. For reservation details, visit juniorexplorerclub.com or call 614-516-3325. This is Rhea Greif, and you are listening to You Inc. Speaking of clothing designers, we have one in our studio today. She is known for her farm-to-table sensibilities when it comes to her designs. Her natural fiber clothing is hand-dyed using materials such as flowers, grasses, roots, and seeds. Celeste Malvar Stewart is originally from San Francisco, then moved to New York after she earned her Bachelor of Applied Arts degree and Master's degree in Textiles in London. Mrs. Stewart then moved to Columbus from New York City in 2012 with husband Bill and pugs Metric and Mooney at her side, opening her shop, Hangar 391, in 2014, a cozy two-level German village atelier. In addition to creating special occasion wear, plus hosting workshops and special events for creatively inclined adults and children, Celeste Malvar Stewart is also working on a line of sustainable textiles for home, office, and public spaces, furthering her mission to address problems and issues in our society today through sustainable and ethical design. Whether that is creating usable textiles or wearable apparel for a collection or display, she strives for every project to serve its purpose of making the world a little better. Thank you for joining us, Celeste.
Thank you for having me.
So nice to have you here. Okay, so Celeste, biggest question I have, who is Gandalf? And I'm not talking about the wizard from The Lord of the Rings.
I love that question because I get it a lot, actually.
Because my runner-up to that would have been sugar.
Yes. Gandalf, you know, I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but right. Gandalf is actually one of my favorite sheep. Mm-hmm. He is a Lincoln long wool sheep, and he lives in Orient, Ohio on a farm called Fairy Haven Farm, a family-owned farm, a beautiful farm. And I just saw him a couple of weeks ago. He's doing well. He's getting a little older, so his walk, it looks a little different, but he's just a happy sheep on a happy farm.
And then, and Sugar is all white, and she's an alpaca?
Sugar was a...
You said was.
Yes, I know. I just found out that Sugar passed away recently, and it was very sad. Aww. Sugar lived on the same farm, and Sugar was actually a he, and he was a mohair, where you get mohair. So Sugar was an Angora goat.
Gotcha.
Where I use mohair from Sugar even to this day, mm-hmm. even though he's not with us anymore.
So when animals are white and they get older, do they turn gray?
Some of them do. Yeah. Mostly it's really their fiber that changes, like our own hair. So as we grow older, our hair texture changes. It's the same with the animals.
I see. Yeah. I see. Okay, so we talk about design, and at some point you made the choice to make your designs differently what anyone else has done so far. In an article in Experience Columbus that came out this year, you mentioned and that you said, and you say, and I quote, "You share key working relationships with Ohio farms such as Prairie Fields Farm and Chaotic Farm, which you rely on for most of your natural fibers." So what was that reaction like when you approached these farmers and said ostensibly, "I want you to be my design partners"?
Yes, it was very odd. When I moved here to Columbus, I called four different farms, and they were just cold calls. And I called them thinking, okay, I'll call the farmers and see if I can use their fiber, see if they'd even see me, if I can meet the animals, so I can have more of a connection to the fiber that I'm using.
Yeah.
And I got one call back.
Wow.
And that was from what used to be Prairie Fields Farm, which is now Fairy Haven Farms.
Gotcha.
And her name is Rachel, the owner and breeder and wonderful woman. And she called me back and said, you know, I'm not really sure you know about the wool that I have. It's really raw, and I'm not really sure how you would use it. And after that, I thought, well, that's a perfect start because I didn't know either at the time. So it started with a visit, and from there we developed a relationship. And I fell in love with the animals and the wool.
Amazing. So, and now you don't have any problems. Like, you have partnerships with Glass Axes. What are these? I was reading about these chainmail glass things. Can you describe that to me? I couldn't find a photo of it.
Oh, yes, I do. I have that on my Instagram page, okay. Actually, if you go back.
But, didn't do that one yet.
And okay. I will repost it because okay. It is something that I'm revisiting. But the glass chainmail was created partly for a collection that I created for the Kentucky Museum of Arts and Crafts. They have a couture show every year. And I created two pieces called Woman. And they were very, very symbolic pieces. So anyone who knows my work, there's always meaning mm-hmm. to whatever I create. And this collection represented this sort of salute to all women of all times. So women of the past, of the present, of the future, and sort of just acknowledging this battle that we've had to fight in the different stages of life and throughout time. And the chainmail I wanted to create out of glass because that symbolized the idea of women wearing armor during our battles and the idea that we can actually wear armor or we have the choice to take off our armor. But even when we wear our armor, we're still fragile and vulnerable. And thus the glass really played a really important role in that
wow.
design.
And I don't think that's ever been done before. So like we talk about designing our lives and being in charge and not being the victim. Like you think of these ideas, and it's like chainmail made out of glass, you know, that like is that an oxymoron, you know,
right.
or like, so how do you get the buy-in from people when you're thinking that this is my idea, like kind of like you did with the farm?
Yes. Well, you know, it's usually so abstract. So it's usually very difficult to explain because a lot of times it's also, like you said, something that hasn't yet been done. So I think it's really about connection, and that's where the buy-in comes from. It's about something that we all can relate to and connect with, and it really starts from love, and it's whether it's a love for each other or a love for what we do or a love for humanity, whatever it is. I think when I start from that topic, however vague it could be, it really gets my foot in the door with ideas.
Mm-hmm. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. That whole concept, what you're talking about, really resonates with me. It's like when you come from that place where your intentions are all positive and you just want to make connections and you just want to make something beautiful, people are much more likely to be responsive to that.
Yes, yep. Yes. And I think people really know when something is good,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
So today's show is about designing life and how fashion designers are good at crafting new visions. And indeed, I've never heard of the term fiber artist before. And I love it. I love it. So do you think those that are trained in the design field, whether it be fashion, tech, art director, have an advantage towards the ability to be the designer over their lives as well?
You know, I do. You mentioned about getting up in the morning, and I really appreciated that. One of the things that I do every morning is, after cuddling with my pugs, I lay in bed and I just envision my day. And it's not that it's random at all. The vision is planned, but loosely planned, allowing creativity to play into it as well. And the sense of randomness, which I think brings serendipity,
yes.
which is really great. And so I lay in bed and I envision my day and I envision the steps that I'll be taking that day towards whatever it is that I'm trying to achieve. But then in the end, I bring myself to more of a fantastic state and I think of things that almost are beyond achievable for now.
Yeah.
And it brings me to a much further place. By the time I finish my day, I feel that I've gone much further than I had actually anticipated.
Right. And you mentioned serendipity. I'm a huge fan. And I say this sometimes with people. It's like, for me, serendipity is I'm kind of on the right rhythm, vibration of the universe. And so these things kind of happen because I'm connected that way. So
yes.
I feel like that's always a sign that I'm on the right track.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So speaking about designing, you're fairly outspoken about animal rights. Clearly the path that you designed for yourself as a designer proves that. How can one gain some control over designing the world around them to include those elements that we want to see and exclude the ones that we don't?
You know, I think it starts from being sincere. I think it's being sincere to ourselves. And I think when we are sincere, we feel a sense of freedom because we're not controlled by what we think other people want for us or what we think they want us to do.
Right.
And so I think that actually creates the path for us. And it feels a little, it feels simple, but it's actually very complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's difficult.
But... You have to be okay, I think, with people, not everyone liking you.
Yes.
And that's, I think that's a healthy thing, because yes. if everyone likes you, that means you've gone around just pleasing people as opposed to, like you said, being sincere to yourself and doing what you feel is right. One of the other things that I've noticed is that, you know, you talk a lot about voting. Can you tell us some thoughts around voting and, like, in terms of making things happen can be a part of being sincere, but, you know, we need to get out there and make our voices get heard. How can we encourage people to get out there and vote?
You know, I think right now, in our times now, I think people feel compelled. Mm-hmm. They feel compelled because the only way to get things done, I think now, is to really bring your voice into practice, into action as well. So I think that a lot of times we think we can't make a difference because we can't do something big enough. Mm-hmm. Our voice isn't big enough mm-hmm. to change anything. But it really is in increments. And I think we can make great changes in increments. And I think that's where our voices can be contributed on any level, whether it is just two words yeah. of I agree or I disagree. I think it is just any contribution of your sincere concern.
Right. One of my favorite things that I like to say is bit by bit. So it's like yes. just a little bit, especially when we talk about animal rights and, like, you think about this impossible, like, how am I going to shut down all the factory farms? How am I going to, it's like, it's so impossible. But yet we see little things bit by bit. Like, for example, I tried that Impossible Burger the other day. It's a vegan burger. It's incredible. It's incredible. And, you know, just like Jenny's now is, like, doing a vegan ice cream.
Yes.
And you're just seeing a lot more plant-based things just popping up around there. And it's like, it's finally seems like there's this momentum happening around that, which, whew, it's a relief because I don't know how much more I could take.
I agree.
Okay, just for fun, if you could design certain things about the world, our country, our city, our state, your personal life with the wave of a wand, what might that look like? As I mentioned, I would love, you know, we're both animal freedom fighters. I would love to ban all factory farms and fur immediately. And I think it was Gucci just very recently said, you know, fur isn't modern anymore, so they're getting rid of it also.
Yes.
But if you could wave a wand, what would that, just for fun?
I would wave a wand to allow everyone to be connected because I think that many times we feel so disconnected that what is affecting a penguin, you know, so thousands of miles away from us isn't actually affecting us.
Right.
But it really is.
Mm-hmm.
So I would wave my wand of connectivity on a universal level.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so you currently have an exhibit at the Columbus Museum of Art. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And your collections are on display. There's also going to be an interactive display for children. Can't wait to take the kids to that. And then also you're going to have some of your interior, what did you call it?
Interior wear,
yes. Mm-hmm. Some of your interior pieces available for purchase at some point in time, like pillows, rugs. What are some other things that we might be able to find there?
Really just that. It's pretty simple because they're so usable.
Yeah.
So pillows that reflect this exploration of sound and also rugs that I call Pangea rugs. They're rugs that can be taken apart and brought together
Ooh.
To make different parts and different forms. So yeah, it's very
Love
simple,
it.
But very inside of those two categories, it's pretty diverse.
Okay. So. And then what kind of things are they going to have on display? And what kind of things are the kids going to be able to get their hands on?
So my installation that's there for the next couple of months mm-hmm. is part of the Artists at Large program, where they invite local designers, local creatives to install pieces, and they can be anything.
Yeah.
In my case, because I want to promote this idea of interior wear being in public spaces and allowing people to feel more connected to what it is that we use in our environment.
Mm-hmm.
They're a series of pillows that reflect the sound that is in that actual room.
Wow.
So I recorded
that laser thing.
No,
oh, okay.
This is all hand felted.
Wow.
Hand felted using, of course, local wool and alpaca, but also using lots of waste material like denim waste and wool fabric waste.
That's amazing. So there's going to be a little bit of Gandalf out there?
Gandalf, there's Snow White, and they're very interactive. So you could turn each pillow over and there's a prompt card sort of asking you to think about an aspect of that work.
I can't wait. So. And then you and I have collaborated for a magazine cover on the observation deck of the Leveque Tower, which I thought was epic. You show your collection at the Fashion Meets Music Festival. You partner with Glass Access that we talked about earlier. We discussed the local farmers and the list goes on and on. Do you always design your life in a way, and I might even have the answer because you mentioned connectedness, but do you always design your life in a way where you build strong partnerships?
Absolutely. I think that that is the very thing that drives me. Mm. I think I need more more purpose with everything I create. Mm-hmm. And I usually start with an issue or a problem that is just haunting me.
Mm, interesting. So what's next for Celeste Malvar Stewart and the Malvar Stewart line?
So next is this project that I'm really, really excited about, and it's very close to heart. And it is addressing universal inequality. And so I am actually creating a body of work that will represent different aspects of inequality, and I would like to really use fashion to start the dialogue mm-hmm. of inequality, and also use fashion to not just start the dialogue, but help us to think about what we can do now to help future generations discuss such topics easier.
Make that kind of connection. Yeah. And where can we come and come to your studio, see some of your designs? How does that work with your studio, your shop?
Yeah, I love people coming to my studio. I don't have hours, although I am there all times of the day. People can email me, send me a message on Instagram or Facebook text me.
What's your email and your Instagram account?
So my Instagram is Malvar Stewart, and you can find me on Facebook, Celeste Malvar Stewart or Malvar Equals Stewart. I also have a website, malvarstewart.com. And you can also go to other websites like columbusmakesart.com, and they have general announcements there as well.
Oh, yeah. Tell us a little bit more about the Columbus Makes Art. That whole program.
Oh my gosh, they have been such great supporters for me and for the arts in general. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't understand it at first because mm-hmm. they do so much.
Right.
But basically what they do is they just find local artists and they really inspire us and promote us to continue to do what it is we do.
Yep.
Without having to worry about the marketing and the promoting. They just do it for us in that sense. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, Jamie Goldstein was here on the show, and she's one of the people who kind of spearheads that quite a bit. And she's certainly an asset to Columbus and to the artists in Columbus, absolutely.
Oh, yes. I'm so grateful to them.
So as we talked about being connected, one of the things that you're also working on is you're kind of repurposing jeans. Can you tell us a little bit about how people can participate in that project?
Yes, I am so grateful for this project and the community because I did a call out to people who have jeans that can no longer wear them. So if they can give them to Salvation Army, that's great. But a lot of us have jeans where we just can't wear them beyond what they look like already.
Because fit them anymore?
We don't. They have holes, they have paint. The Salvation Army or Goodwill won't take them. So I call out for those jeans and I actually deconstruct them mm-hmm. and use them either in fiber form or recycle them on some level into new designs. And they can come and drop off their jeans. A lot of people will just drop off their jeans just in front of my building at Hangar 391.
Okay.
Or you can contact me and let me know if you want to swing by and do a visit and drop off jeans as well.
How do you do the deconstruction?
It's really literally taking it piece by piece.
I think I saw a picture of your mom doing it.
Yes, I recruit anyone I can. And it's actually a communal thing. It's really fun to sit around and do it together.
Sure.
And it starts dialogue.
And what have you already made with some of this denim?
Well, you'll see actually at some of the pillows at the Columbus Museum of Art in the hallway next to the Wonder Room, you'll see pillows that have the deconstructed denim hand felted onto them to reflect the sound waves that I recorded in the room.
So people can feel like they're connected to this art, that they actually did contribute to it.
Yes. I mean, I can tell you the few people who have given me those jeans. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So drop off your jeans at Hangar
391.
And what's the address?
391 East Livingston Avenue. It's in German Village.
Okay. Thank you. I cannot wait to see this. It's going to be great. Okay. One last question. Will you ever be designing outfits for the Merbies? The male mermaids.
I hope so. I've given a new dream. Yes. A new purpose.
Yes. For those at home who don't know, the Merbies are men who have an appreciation for facial hair or who have facial hair, who dress as mermaids, and they did like a calendar, and it raises funds for an equine program to help with therapy and things like that. But it's the most darling thing I've ever seen.
It is, and they look like they have so much fun.
They do. I want to be on set with you when you dress these people. I will be your assistant.
It's a deal.
I will hold all your pushpins. Well, Celeste, it's been absolutely lovely having you here today. Thank you so much for sharing your vision and your designs and giving us the belief that we can do the same. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so grateful for this. Thank you, Rhea.
And now, a word from our person on the street.
So, Marlene, what are your thoughts on design?
Design, as far as my life goes, I think it's important to always stay active, whether you're running a marathon or just chasing your kids around the house. I'm a personal trainer, so, you know, my clients are constantly trying to find ways to stay fit and get stronger. So, you've got to be active. You've got to stay active till the day you die. My oldest client's 94.
Wow. So, how do we design ourselves to get that activity going?
Well, it's good to hire a professional. That helps, like me.
Sure.
I work for Next Level Fitness in Gahanna, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's safer to have someone that can, you know, guide you so you don't get injured. That's key.
So a good first step is to have a professional get you going, and then?
And then you got to stay motivated, whether it's a matter of your trainer helping you stay motivated, or you work out with a group of friends, or if you do like group fitness classes. There's a lot of ways to keep the motivation. A lot of people need that team camaraderie, or they won't do it by themselves.
I like it. So what's your motivation?
My kids, my life, my clients, my family. I mean, I don't need to have someone push me because I've pushed myself since 1979 religiously. So
nice.
I prefer not to work out with someone because they slow me down.
Okay, well, I was about to ask you about my workout partner, but I guess that's not going to happen. Thank you so much, Marlene.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.